Good morning, Birch Ridge. My name is Jacob. I'm one of the pastors here at Birch Ridge. And today, we're going to be getting into Everlasting Father. So for those of you that may not have been here, we've been going through a sermon series recently. Pastor Milt brought us through basically the titles that we find in Isaiah 9:6. That first title being Wonderful Counselor, the second title being Mighty God, and today we're going to talk about Everlasting Father. So it's a great, fantastic title, but I want to provide a little bit of context for those of you that either weren't paying attention last week, weren't here, or you know, are new with us, which if you are new with us, thank you for being here. We're very blessed to have you with us this morning. So a little bit of context. I kind of want to set the stage. First of all, who is Isaiah? Well, Isaiah is a prophet in the Old Testament times. He was one of the major prophets. So lots of significant prophecies in that book that we find and that are there. One of the most significant being the coming of the Messiah. And that is specifically what we're talking about here in Isaiah chapter 9. Let's go ahead, if we have our Bibles, so I want you to go ahead and open to Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 to get a better understanding of this prophecy and what Isaiah is pointing towards. So Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he will make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You will multiply the nation. You will increase their joy. They will rejoice in your presence as with the joy of harvest, as people rejoice when they divide the spoils. For you will break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the marching warrior in the roar of battle and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. This is speaking specifically about Jesus, about the coming king. What's really significant about this prophecy is when it took place. It took place 7 centuries before Jesus came. 700 years. Amazing. An amazing prophecy. And it's one that really points to the fulfillment of God's ultimate plan. It's been part of his plan since the beginning. Jesus has always been where God's plan is pointed. It's always been the way. We look back into the Old Testament at the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, covenant with David. All those covenants were pointing towards the new covenant, which would be made whole through Jesus Christ. It proves that there's been an everlasting plan. It's always been in motion. And that really tells us how much God loves us. Always had a way for us to be saved. Now this morning, we're obviously going to focus specifically on the title Everlasting Father or Eternal Father. But I want to highlight some of the other titles that Pastor Milt brought us through just to kind of head us in the right direction here. The first was Wonderful Counselor, or the one who guides us. Jesus' wisdom isn't like human advice. It's nothing like it. It's perfect. It's truly rooted in truth. He understands what we actually need. No one else on earth does. Only Jesus does. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Jesus knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what's going on in your heart right now. He knows your worries, your concerns, your fears, your failures. He can provide perfect guidance through His Word and through His power as the Wonderful Counselor. When life feels overwhelming, we can trust in the fact that Jesus is there for us. And He will lead us with wisdom that is far beyond anything we could imagine. We can't even comprehend it. It's perfect. He's also the mighty God, the one who fights for us. Mighty God tells us that Jesus isn't just wise, He's powerful. He has the strength to overcome anything that stands in His way, or our way for that matter. He is all-powerful. Whenever we have storms rage in life, we go through trials and tribulations. It happens all the time. We can trust in the fact that Jesus' power is sufficient. Nothing compares to His power. We see evidences of this. One story would be from Mark chapter 4, where the disciples were in the boat with Jesus. Many of the disciples were very experienced fishermen, seasoned. They'd been in the seas for a long time, but the seas were out of control, terrifying, so much so that these seasoned fishermen were like, we're going to die. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was sleeping. Evidence of Him being in full control. They wake Him up, say, Lord, are you going to let us die? And then in Mark 4, verse 41, He calms the storm, and it leaves the disciples to say, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Just His words calm the storm like that. Power over everything, power over the world. We see other evidences of His power in John chapter 18 when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas has betrayed Him, and they leads the men, the Pharisees and the armies to go take Jesus into custody, arrest Him. And when they get there, they're looking for Him. They say, Jesus of Nazareth? They replied. I am He, Jesus said. And when Jesus said, I am He, they drew back and fell to the ground. Just the power of Him saying His name knocked all of them to the floor. That's might. That's our mighty God. He's not just some distant king. He's an all-powerful warrior who fights for you and who stands with you. And importantly, promises to never leave you or forsake you. Now that leads us to today's focus, which is the Everlasting Father. What a beautiful title that is. And it's so significant. That word everlasting has so much significance attached to it. I think it's easy to kind of bypass. So many of us hear eternal, everlasting. You know, these are Christian words. We hear them a lot in church. It's easy to go over because they're said often. And also I think it's because we have a hard time understanding them. We exist in linear time. We're born, we die, at least here on earth. It's hard to envision what eternity really means. So to kind of give us a better understanding of that, I want to take a second to look at the original Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for everlasting is ad, which means forever, perpetually, continually, eternally. Now, I don't bring up the original word to be like, look at me, I know the original language, you know. Anytime we look at the original Aramaic, Greek, or Hebrew, there's a reason we do that. Because it gives us a better, illuminates better depth of context, what the original writings meant. Especially in English where we use these big descriptors, you know, you could eat a delicious sandwich and be like, that was incredible and life-changing. You know, it's, we need to make sure we have the right meaning backing up what this is saying. So in that train of thought, the Hebrew meaning conveys the idea of eternity in this way. Something without beginning or end. Something that has always been and always will be. This emphasizes the permanence and unchanging nature of Jesus' role as the Everlasting Father. It's not temporary. He doesn't care for us in a fleeting manner. It's not for a little bit of time. It's forever. Jesus is not bound by time. He created time. He exists outside of it. That's why it's so hard for us to wrap our heads around. Our feeble human minds can't break that concept, but Jesus can, and He does. He is the Creator. He's unchanging, He's eternal. Now, why does this matter? What's the purpose of that? How does this change how we should look at him? It's actually very significant. So let's look at that. From the beginning of creation, Jesus was present. John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made that has been made. Colossians 1:16-18. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. And then Revelation 22:13. And if you have your Bibles with you and it's a red letter Bible, you'll see that it's Jesus talking here. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. See, Jesus always was, always has been, and always will be. He's not just some historical figure or some respected teacher. He wasn't absent or non-existent until he came to earth. That's a common misconception. He has always existed forever, always. He's always been a part of the plan. He's the eternal Son of God. He was actively involved in creation. He is sustaining all things by his power. He is the only way. He is the only truth. And he is the only life. And that brings us to our first point. It might sound like an obvious one, but it's an important one to make. And that point is that Jesus is everlasting. We are talking about Jesus. He's everlasting. Now, why does that everlasting character matter? Well, there's a lot of importance to it. Let's look at it. One of the first reasons it matters is because his everlasting nature, his eternal physical being, means that his salvation and forgiveness is everlasting. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save forever those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Because Jesus is eternal, his work on the cross has everlasting consequences. His death and resurrection secured the only way to salvation and true forgiveness. Is the only way. In him, we can also find eternal security that he is always the same and will never change. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. His unchanging nature means that we can trust him completely. His promises are the same today as they were 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. He's not changing. He doesn't change his mind. He's not making mistakes. Perfect. We can also rely, because of this, on his eternal presence. He never leaves us. Matthew 28:20. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus' eternal nature guarantees that he is always with us. No matter what. No matter what's going on, no matter what we do, Jesus is with us. We can find comfort in that. And that brings us to our second point. Jesus is everlasting, so therefore Jesus' promises are everlasting. Amen? We can find solace in that. We can find true hope in that. He makes his promises and he keeps his promises. This is the same Savior who walked on water. It's the same Savior who healed the sick, conquered death. Because he is everlasting, his love, forgiveness, and presence are also everlasting. When we feel uncertain or overwhelmed, we can always remember that fact Jesus' care is not limited by time. It's not constrained by that. It's not limited by experience or circumstance. His promises endure forever. We should take heart in that. And that brings us to the second part of the description. We see that everlasting nature, what that means, the significance of that. There's another one there, isn't there? Everlasting Father, eternal Father. What does it look like for him to be a true father to us? Father's one of those things that I think that people struggle with, because not everybody had a perfect and or good, loving father. No one's had a perfect father, but we can find that perfect fatherly character in Jesus. So I want to invite you to lay down your feelings of your earthly father. Maybe you didn't have a father, or you didn't know them. That's okay. Today we're going to explore and look at, I'm going to allow Jesus and Jesus' word to reveal to you what it means to have an everlasting and perfect father. So what does that look like? Well, first, his love is unconditional. Unconditional. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you out with kindness. Jesus' love is not based on what we do. It's based on who he is. It's based on his nature, his character. Thank goodness for that. We don't do very good things, do we? But he knows us fully. He knows our flaws, our failures, like we mentioned earlier, and he still loves us. He loves us with a love we can't comprehend. It's not something we can wrap our heads around. Earthly love has limitations and conditions, and that's one of the reasons we have a hard time understanding it. So much wrapped up into many relationships, even our best, often have conditions, but not with Jesus. Jesus' love is constant, unfailing. It is truly conditional. Unconditional. Another characteristic we can find in that is that his forgiveness is complete. It is complete. Psalm 103, 12 through 13, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our wrongdoings from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. What an amazing verse that is. As far as the east is from the west, how far is that? It's infinite. They never meet. They're always heading in opposite directions. That's how far it is. It's a great image. Jesus does not hold our past against us. Through his sacrifice, he has forgiven every sin, past, present, and future. When we come to Jesus in repentance, and because the penalty has already been paid for our sins, he welcomes us with open arms. Can you believe that? This is the idea that we see in the parable that Jesus told of the prodigal son in Luke 15. Any of you know the story of the prodigal son? I'll give you a quick summary. Father has two sons. He gives them their inheritance. The young son wants to run off with his inheritance. Runs off with it. Squanders it. Throws it away, literally. Spends it all. Gets into just nonsense. Leads a sinful life. He gets broken down so far that he's literally wallowing with pigs, and just to survive and stay alive, he's eating what the pigs eat. He gets to the end of himself. He doesn't know what else to do. He says, well, I guess I'll head back home and hopefully my father will at least take me as a lowly slave. So he heads home. What do we see? We see that his father was waiting for him. He was watching from a great distance away. He saw him coming. He didn't stand there like this. He ran to him with open arms, and he embraced him. He said, welcome home. So glad you're back. The son immediately says, I'm not worthy of your love. Not worthy of it. I've done all this. I blew my inheritance. I messed up. He says, I'll come on as a slave. You know, I get it. What's the father do? Throws him a huge party. celebrates his return back into the family, back into the inheritance. It's an amazing example of the character we can see and we do see in Jesus. He was forgiven. The prodigal son was forgiven. That brings us to another point. He provides for every need. The everlasting Father provides for every need. Matthew 6, 31 through 33, do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus cares for us. He truly cares for us like a good father, ensuring that our needs are met, both spiritual and physical. God created us. I think he knows what we need physically, right? He will provide those things, but we need to seek him first. The next point is that he will never leave us. Not like earthly fathers, but he's perfect. He will never leave us. Hebrews 13:5, I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? He never will. Earthly fathers, no matter how loving, cannot always be present. But Jesus' promises are eternal, they're everlasting like we talked about. And he promises to be with us in every single moment, every season of our life. He doesn't just step in for a little bit, he's always there. He's always there. Even in our darkest hours, Jesus is there offering comfort, strength. Now putting these two powerful descriptions together, we see the truth of who he is. I talked about the original Hebrew word for everlasting or eternal. That's not actually the word that Isaiah used here in chapter 9, verse 6. He used a very unique and special word. It's one of the only places we see it in all of the Bible. And it's a composite of both the Hebrew word for father and the Hebrew word for everlasting. And that word is aviad. Aviad was not just someone who continued on indefinitely. This very specific wording emphasizes that this kind of father continually supports and upholds his children forever. Aviad is a good, unshakable father who supports and cares for his children no matter how far they've strayed away. Just like the father in the parable of the prodigal son. Watching, he's waiting. He cannot wait for you to pick him and return to him. Because Jesus is the Aviad, the perfect and everlasting Father, you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in depression, anxiety, misery, despair. You don't have to live your life dominated by your sin. All you have to do is believe in Jesus and accept that he is the only way. Now, if you've never experienced the love of the perfect Father, let today be that day. Making that call from here. I think it's important for you to respond. He's waiting. He's not waiting for you to prove yourself. He's not waiting for you to try to earn something. There's no status you need to achieve. All you need to do is turn to him. He will run to you with open arms. And you might say, yeah, but you don't get it. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the life I've lived. You don't understand. I'm not worthy of that kind of love. I'm not worthy of the unconditional love that he offers. I'm not worthy of the perfect father. And I would say, by the grace of God, I do understand. How? Well, one, because the Bible says so, and we're going to talk about that. But two, because I was worthy. He did it for me. How could he do that? I've not lived a perfect life. Not at all. And that's the truth, is that none of us have. None of us are truly worthy of this. We see that in the Bible. It makes that clear. Romans 3, 10 through 12. As it is written, there is no righteous person, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks out God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good. There is not even one. We're all fallen. We're all sinful. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now this might sound like bad news. It might come across like, well, if we're not worthy, then how does it work? But this is where the true hope is. Because again, you don't have to come to some special place. Because it's not about your power. It's about the power, grace, mercy. It's about the everlasting Father. It's perfect nature. That's what it's about. There's nothing you can do to get on some plane where you're accepted. And that's actually where we can find our hope. Because it's available to everyone. And for those of you that are saved, you know this. Your eyes have been opened to it by the grace of God. You see who you were, the life you led. And I'm sure there's many people in here that could stand up and say, God has done this for me, it's true. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is where many people ask, well, if I've sinned, that is true, and I'm not worthy, then how can I be worthy of this gift of eternal life? It's what he's offering. Well, there's three ways, and we're going to look at that. One, you're worthy through Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus took the punishment that we deserved due to our sinfulness. Even though he was perfect and innocent, he was blameless. He lived a perfect life here on earth. Regardless of that, on the cross, Jesus bore our sins, our shame, our guilt. And he took what? He took the wrath of God in our place. We deserved God's wrath because we weren't worthy. But Jesus loved us so much that he did send his Son to do that for us. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him, through Jesus. His sacrifice cleanses us completely. Again, there's no special conditions. Once you understand this, salvation's truly available. 1 John 1:8-9. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 1:18-19. Come now, and let us debate your case, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall become white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. You have been made righteous and therefore worthy of the everlasting Father by what? By his precious blood and his blameless sacrifice. You're also worthy by faith. We're not made worthy again by anything that we can do or anything we've done. We're made worthy by trusting in what Jesus has already done. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And then Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You must trust the everlasting Father. Have faith in him and his promises. Having faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that his sacrifice on the cross is sufficient in the justification of your sinfulness, you are then worthy to be called his child. You're also worthy through his love. This leads into that. Jesus, as the everlasting Father, adopts us. He adopts us into God's family when we accept him. We are no longer strangers or outsiders. We become children of God. 1 John 3:1. See how great a love for the Father has given us that we would be called children of God, and in fact we are. Lamentations 3:22-23. The Lord's acts of mercy indeed do not end, for his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His love is unchanging. It's unearned. It's unstoppable. It is through this love that we are made whole and worthy in his eyes. If you've never experienced that kind of relationship, never experienced the perfect Father, the everlasting Father, I want to invite you today to open up your heart to him. He's not asking for you to clean anything up. You don't need to leave here and get things in order. No. You don't have to prove that you're good enough, because you're not. And that's the hope. You can come as you are. You can come just as you are, right here, right now. His mercies are new every day. Hallelujah for that. He is asking you to trust him, to let him be your Lord. Let him be your Father forever. For those of you that already know Jesus, reflect on this. It is the truth. We know that he continuously loves us. His love never runs out. His forgiveness never fails. His presence never leaves us. He will never abandon us. Again, like I said before, there's many that can attest to that fact here. So in conclusion this morning, spoiler alert, Isaiah 9:6 ends with the everlasting Father, which is the final title in that prophecy for Jesus. And that's what Milt's going to be bringing us through next Sunday. He's going to walk us through the fact that Jesus loves and cares for us. He brings us peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our relationships. Jesus gives us peace with God. And that's what we'll be focusing on. But I don't want you to wait until then. Please do not wait. You can experience the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace right now, today. He loves you endlessly. He will forgive you completely, just as you are, and will walk with you every step of the way. Jesus tells us this in Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light. You feel that calling. Feel Jesus reaching out. See him watching. Go to him. I want to invite you to do that this morning. Don't leave here today without making that decision. It's the best decision you could ever make. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. As we close, I'm going to pray. We're going to start the music. I'll be over here. I would love nothing more than to pray, talk with anybody that wants that. This is also a free call to anybody that wants to realign. They know the truth, but they need prayer. They need encouragement. Feel free to come for that as well. We've also got Pastor Milt. Pastor Milt's in the back over there. There he is. He would love the same. And then we've got one of our elders, Brother Mike. also in the back room there. People are ready to pray with you, encourage you. If you want to make that decision to come to Christ, walk you through that. It is the best thing you can do. It's the best gift you could receive this Christmas. Accept Jesus and live for him. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for your glory. Lord, we're thankful that your mercies are new every day. We don't deserve your love, but you are so merciful, graceful, and loving that you've made a way through your Son, Jesus Christ. Your word says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Lord, I pray for our congregation this morning. I pray for those that are locked in. They love you. They understand you. They follow you, Lord. Embolden them. Encourage them with your Holy Spirit. And keep them on that narrow path. Lord, I pray for any soul here that's wandering back home. They're trying to find it. Pray that you will reach down to them, pull them up, welcome them into your eternal family with open, loving arms. Thank you for everything you do, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being the perfect and everlasting Father. Be with us this Christmas season as we reflect on what is truly important, your Son. In the name of that Son, I pray. Amen.